Let's take a moment of silence, opportunity to prepare for the study of the Word by making sure we're filled with the Spirit. Father, we thank you for another opportunity that you provided for us to gather together, the freedom that we have still in this nation, for these situations to occur without opposition. And we thank you for the grace that you continuously supply on the basis of your unfailing love that enables us to actually get here in spite of the issues that are occurring in our country. And the technology that enables us to communicate even sometimes when we can't get here. So as we study, we ask that by means of the Spirit that the information that is communicated would subsequently be made available for recall and application. And we ask this, thank you in Jesus' name, amen. Well, in our verse-by-verse study of Romans, our verse-by-verse, word-by-word, we're in verse 24 where we noted that the result of their rejection, the context here of Romans is God illuminating unbelievers and they're rejecting his illumination. So God's position here is, you know, I made you know. So everything that follows in stream subsequently relates to that negative volition and the consequences. So let's just read the verse. We're in the middle of it with so that their bodies. But if we get there, it says, therefore God gave them because of their rejection. So that's why, and then that's also why we call this reversionism. Reversionism is kind of a coined word for rejecting. A common, normal Christian kind of word would be backsliding. But reversionism is actually more specific because it implies that you knew. Backsliding, it's not so definite, but you could make the case, I suppose. But similar to that. So in essence, you have had truth and you rejected it. And it can happen anywhere along the continuum of our spiritual life. So that's what's going on here. In this case, it's unbelievers, though. So therefore God, because they rejected God's illumination regarding the gospel, and of course that was preceded by God consciousness, and it goes through the entire sequence in the passage, or in the book. Therefore God gave them over to the lusts of their hearts, to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among themselves, between themselves. So we'll see, we're going to finish that up and start into verse 25 here today. So what we have here, again, as I think I noted this last time, is a system that is self-actualizing. So if you choose truth, you end up with blessing. And if you choose the lie, you end up with cursing. So that's why in the end of, Deuteronomy, I set before you life and death. You know, choose life, that you and your children might live. That was Moses' final communication to them, basically, before he was terminated. So, because he wasn't allowed to, remember, he wasn't allowed to go into the land. So he was holding them up. And God says, well, we got to take you up on a mountain and deal with you. So, which is what he did. And he was of full strength when it happened, which is interesting to note. So anyways, as a result of the rejection of God, they would receive degradation in their bodies. This is translated from the accusative plural reference of soma. Of course, that's the Greek word for body. And we also noted that one of the great protections that God provides from divine establishment is the protection for your body. And if you note, divine establishment is primarily for the protection of individuals, persons, rights, property, all of that. That's, you can look at the Ten Commandments, and when you see that, it's the core of divine establishment. And it's all focused on authority orientation, proper use of sex and stuff like that, private property in the case of not stealing and not having extramarital affairs, those kinds of things. Murder, that's right there in the top, in those. So that's the core of establishment. So God provides protection. Of course, the purpose for the protection is for you to have the opportunity to be a witness for God. See, remember, that's what God's in the business of. God wants witnesses, and the witnesses have to be protected in order in the devil's world. I think I mentioned about Job. Satan accused God of buying Job off by protecting him. And of course that was true. God actually did. When you see his dialogue with the devil, that would be God's dialogue with the devil, he actually limits him. Because he'd have gone straight and killed him right from the get-go. He wasn't allowed to kill him. So that's you can take from that understanding that that's God's agenda here. So God permits people to die if it's His mission to permit. I mean, if it's what He wants to happen, but He does. He restrains it too, and that's comforting to know that. So, because God has a specific purpose and a set of things for us to do, we see that in Ephesians 2:10. We are His workmanship, created in Christ for good of intrinsic value production that God has determined from eternity past. So He has a specific group of things for us to do in our lives on this planet. And he's not going to let us go until we're done. So he's actually, that's how hostile this place is. We're not sensitive to that, but it is that hostile. Your body is a house for your soul, and any time your body is protected, your soul is also protected. Now that's really where the issue is, because that's where your real life is. The body is just, you're going to get a new one. In fact, if you go through heaven, you're probably going to get two new ones. You're going to get one that works in heaven, and you're going to get then the final one at the resurrection. And it's for this purpose that we have the true concept of freedom. The true concept of freedom protects your body and soul from the encroachment from others. And so that's the thing, is it protects us, and it also provides us freedom. That's the back side of it. So when you look at, for example, the Constitution, it spends a lot of time addressing protection and security. That's why you have things like the Second Amendment in there. Because the founders understood the risks that were in play. And so they built into the Constitution, which is the law of the land, which is constantly being violated by the politicians these days, what was necessary for this to happen. It wasn't accidental that that's in there. They were fully cognizant of the issues that they faced, and they had faced it themselves with King George. And they had fled. I mean, the forefathers of the founders had fled the tyranny of England and Holland to get here to where they could set up shop without any issues because they could set up their own rules. And they had their own problems with that too, of course. But, nonetheless, they didn't have King George to deal with. It also protects things related to your body, including your private property and your privacy. So that their bodies might be degraded has to do with the destruction of freedom. And so that's what's that issue here. See, what's going on? Remember, truth and freedom are connected at the hip. They're basically opposite sides of the same coin. That's, we see that in John on 8:32, I think, in that area. If you continue my word, you know the truth will set you free. So it's basically, without truth, you can't have freedom. And that's why in our country today we're rapidly losing freedom, because the people have rejected truth. So you can blame the politicians all you want, but the people voted for the politicians, or at least some of them did. Enough of them did that they were able to steal it, the rest of it. So, and that's what we've got, is a situation where the truth is on the line. The truth is always on the line. And as a result, and of course that's why our founders said that our country, our Constitution was only good for a moral, religious people. Because they had to have the self-control to orient to the truth rather than the lie. And as soon as people disorient the truth, you end up with tyranny. And that's where we're going. Tyranny of laws. And here we're going to actually talk about the tyranny of the sin nature, which is actually the source of the need for the tyranny of laws. Because uncontrolled sin natures have to be controlled. You see, that's the issue. And so what happens if you have uncontrolled sin natures? Well, you get tons of laws. That's why we have all kinds of rules on the book that are unconstitutional. Because the Constitution depends on people having self-control. But if you have perverts and criminals running around with no restraint, which is what we got, then the Constitution doesn't work. It only works for moral, religious people, using John Adams' terminology. So these are people who become enslaved to the deviant and destructive lust patterns of their sin nature. Now there's one in view here, and that would be sexual. But this one's representative. I mean, you really look at what's going on in our country today, this is the battlefront. I mean, transgenderism is just the next wave after homosexuality. The whole thing just keeps devolving. So this is, I mean, the first wave was homosexuality. They won that battle. They got the Supreme Court said they could get married. They can't. I mean, they can say they are, but God says no. They don't care what God says. So the state permits it. All right, so they're happy. But the next battle, where is the next battle? Well, the next battle is where we're at. And it's going to keep devolving into something more and more perverse as we go along. I mean, eventually, when this is why Sodom and Gomorrah was taken out. God could not allow that to happen, especially where it was. It was in the wrong place. Now, if it had been in the middle of North America, he might let it go. But since it was in Canaan, he couldn't let it go. Why? Well, Israel is coming in there. Now, this is way before that, but if that, that kind of culture existed in Canaan when they came in, and God, what did God tell them to do? Kill them all. He couldn't have that. And it still became the cause of the fall of the nations. I mean, both the northern and the southern kingdom fell because of the influence of the perversion that came from the Canaanites. So, you know, basically God was protecting them at that point coming into the land. So people think they're free because liberty from divine establishment permits their perversion. But they're really slaves because their true freedom requires discernment and self-control, and they have neither. See, that's the thing. Freedom comes from self-control. Because if you're not self-controlled, then you're going to violate someone else's freedom. And then there's going to be a law. And that's going to impede your freedom. And that just keeps cascading. And eventually it's a nuclear reaction. You know, it just completely comes apart. Because that's where we are now. We have a proliferation of laws that, well, none of them will work because nobody's going to obey any of them. And that's precisely where we are. When God's justice turns people over to receive the consequences of their depravity, it shows in their choices that they make regarding personal hygiene and dress. That's an indication. If you haven't noticed, you know, the way people dress is much less, well, I mean, it depends, again, it's all in your head. Think about, I'm going to use an example of the streets of San Francisco. A place that used to be absolutely beautiful, at least you would walk around with, and now you're constantly having to deal with syringes and defecation on the street because of the people that live there. Well, what's going on? What happened? The people that live there have lost all sense of normalcy. They're disconnected from, why? They've been given over, you know, to that by their negative volition. So when the body is not being degraded, the majority of people in this nation tend to be clean and have excellent grooming. Now, there's exceptions, but that tends to be, I mean, the culture demands it. See, the adults force the kids to dress up. They don't want to, but they do. Okay? Well, we don't have that anymore, pretty much. Why? Well, because the adults they themselves have fallen prey to this. And if you go back to the 50s and look at the way people dress, and then see how that devolved in the 60s, and then how it expanded in the 70s, and more in the 80s, and now it's even worse. You know, you see, that's the trend. That's the trend line. They are clean. This would be the people who have orientation to establishment. And well-dressed in accordance with their financial status and availability of clothing. Now, because that can be an issue. Today, it's easy. I mean, there's no reason you can't be well-dressed today. You can go to any Goodwill store and get plenty of plenty of clothing that would be perfectly fine, and if it was clean, nothing wrong with it. I mean, there's tons. I mean, it's really interesting how there are places to get things very inexpensive. Well, there used to be. I mean, this is going to be disappearing as we go forward. But there have been, throughout the last 40, 50 years, places where one could go to get very inexpensive stuff to be properly attired for just about anything you need to do. The degradation of the body is indicative of the loss of personal freedom and the degradation from slavery from the old sin nature. See, the old sin nature is the source of this problem. You know, so ultimately, what God is proposing to these unbelievers is a remedy. The remedy isn't to put a band-aid on the problem. The remedy is to deal with the old sin nature. Well, how do you do that? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, the battle still exists, but now you have the power to deal with it. That would be the Holy Spirit. See, an unbeliever has no power to deal with the old sin nature other than establishment. But a believer has a whole lot of assets. That's what rebound's all about. See, when you acknowledge any known sin, then the Holy Spirit comes in, and he starts directing you until you sin again. And so you have a chance to overcome the old sin nature if you want to. Now, the only way you can actually overcome the old sin nature is to apply doctrine. Okay? That's how you actually beat it. To the extent that you can in this sin-infused body. But to learn the doctrine that you need to overcome it, you have to have the filling of the Spirit. So, you know, the predicate there is the filling of the Spirit. Well, how do you get that? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. See, so God's solving the problem from where it actually starts. Now, he knows this. I mean, this is what the battle's all about, the war that we're fighting in, the spiritual battle on this planet. He knows that that's what's going on. And so this is the assets that he's provided for us. So a good example of this would be what has happened over the last 40 years in streets like places like San Francisco and Portland, Seattle. You notice it's always places that don't get real cold. Hawaii has a ton of this. If you go there, the streets are filled with people that just, well, I don't know, homeless, I guess. I'm going to call it that. I'm not convinced there are technically homeless people. There are people that don't have a house right now. Yeah, a place to live. But they would have one if they wanted to submit to the authority necessary to live in one. They don't want to do that. So that leaves them on the street, you see. You know, and it may be okay. I don't know. I'm just saying. If it's warm enough, I guess you don't need a house. But whatever. And of course, that's just one of the tip of the iceberg. Because underneath all that is the real reason why they're, quote, homeless. They're drug abusers or whatever. But there's always an issue with authority there. That's the problem. That's the real problem there. And that goes back to what? The sin nature. So places like San Francisco, Portland, and Seattle, where the drug abusers and so-called homeless defecate and discard their needles everywhere. And that's what it's become out there in those places. I mean, those, like I said, those in the 60s, 50s and 60s, and probably even the 70s. I mean, I haven't really walked around downtown San Francisco. I have walked around downtown LA. And that was in the 70s and 80s. It was not bad. Seattle, I've been all over Seattle and Portland. And they were beautiful in the 90s. No issues. Spent a lot of time out there. So, but today, not so much, I'm guessing. Because if you look at what has happened in San Francisco, I'm sure it's similar. Maybe not quite because it's colder. So our privacy and private property are constantly under assault, and liberal heathen politicians do nothing except set criminals free with bail to repeat their criminality. And that was an interesting statement. I wrote that several days ago. It's very apropos today, isn't it? After what happened in Rochester. Guy tries to stab a politician and he gets let go on free, on bail. How about that? Crazy. Okay, it's where we live. So they're going to have this situation where their bodies would be dishonored where? Between themselves or among themselves. So this indicates the course that is going to be explained in this passage, that is N plus the locative plural of the intensive pronoun autos. So that's among autos is themselves and among is the N part. That is used here as a reflexive sense of among or between. So this is something that these individuals are given over to in their similar sin natures to interact with each other. And so what do you do like that? Well, we're going to see that the top topic at issue is homosexuality. And autos is the predicate use of the intensive pronoun translated by the word self. And the Greek prepositional phrase autos and autos has a reciprocal significance. That is, this reciprocity is going to be referred to sexual perversion in verse 26. So Paul's going to get real graphic here. Because that's what you got to do. And really this is the I guess you'd say litmus test for the reversionism and downward trends of a culture. This is where it goes, inevitably. Why? Well, sex lust. That's why. See, that's a lust. That's a significant lust pattern in people, and so that's going to get. I mean, other people have different kinds of lust, but a lot of people have that one, plus others, and this is going to be the devolving that occurs. Because the Bible specifically defines the proper relationships that you can have. I think I said last time that God made things for good, but Satan perverted them into evil. You know, sex is important. Why? That's the source of the next generation of witnesses. Well, who can't have babies? Ooh, who can't have babies? How would you like to have sex without babies? Oh, without contraception. Ooh, yeah, okay, let's do that. So that's what they got. Right? Well, what does that do? Well, most people don't even think about it, but the real answer is there aren't any kids. That's why they got to go steal somebody else's, which is why they're in the second graders trying to pervert these people into transgenderism. I mean, homosexuals get away with sexual child perversion all the time. I'm not kidding. You do this heterosexually, they'll throw your butt in jail. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't go to jail, but the point is that so did the homosexuals. But they get away with it. See, you know, so whatever. I mean, the point is, see, who's running that show? Well, Satan is. That's who's running the show, and he doesn't want any more witnesses. I mean, how does this whole thing come to a head sometime? We don't know exactly what the what the sequence of events is, but I've made the case that it's a time when there's no more witnesses of the prosecution. How do you get there? No kids. So before the exit resurrection, probably won't be many kids. A serious decline in propagation. Now, maybe not everywhere. Western culture. Because that's where you have the freedom to do this. You're not going to get this in over yonder in Muhammad land. Not going to happen. In China, you might. Because they have a different god. That would be the boss, the dictator. So it's just interesting to see how it's going to play out. So this, you can see how these events are convolving together to bring us to a point where the exit resurrection would occur. So I'm just saying that we got that on the table. That's coming out here. Where are we going to go? The choices people make are going to lead us there. All right, that's what's going to happen. So you got to look, put the dots together, and try to and figure out what's happening next. And if you see what's going on, especially in Western civilization, what has become of Western civilization? It's no longer Western civilization. It's a bunch of perverts. You know, of course, you got 50% of the population in the United States is pushing back on this, so that may have some influence for a while. But most of the rest of the world in Western civilization, the people who inherited it and became ascendant years ago and have since gone descendant, well, they're pretty much over the edge already. So enautos is a predicate use of the intensive pronoun translated by the word self. The Greek prepositional phrase autos and enautos has a reciprocal significance, and this perversion is described in 26, if we'll get there in another day or so. This is a degradation among themselves. This is not fornication, not legitimate sex, but perverted sex that's going to be an illustration of their depravity. See, that's where we're going with this. This isn't normal sex between a man and a woman, is the point. It's perversion. And it's a serious part of the destruction of the culture. Because it left alone, it will completely destroy the culture. Why? There's no kids. All right? That's why. It's gone. Culture disappears. So an expanded translation of verse 24. Therefore, the God, I emphasize the because, remember, we're going to see this in verse 25 again. It's not there. The God, it says God in verse 24 in our translation. But we go over to the real translation, and it has the God. See the O in front of the Theos? Well, that's a direct pointer to Jesus. You could substitute Jesus for that. It is God, because he's one of the undiminished deity and true humanity. But the only person of the Trinity that gets referenced to as the God is Jesus. And that's not something to be missed here. So it's not just God. It's Jesus, who is the God. All right, so I put that in caps for that reason. That would be God's justice department delivered them over to the lust of their hearts. That's where the decision making to go, whichever way you go, occurs in his heart, to immoral status, so that their bodies might be degraded among themselves. So that's what's going to happen as a result of this negative volition. See, you end up with a momentum situation. You go positive. And then that tip can be followed by another positive choice, and you have an ascendant momentum. This is a descendant momentum. So a negative choice leads to another negative choice, which leads to another negative choice, and the whole thing just goes down, which is what we got happening in the world. And that's what has to happen here. Remember, we're not missing out on the fact that that's the facts. Satan run the show here, and God's letting him run the show. And at the moment, it's being restrained a little bit by the church. But that the tendencies that are going to come full bore into the tribulation have to be sitting there about ready to blow up as the church gets out of Dodge. And we're going to be the trigger for that. So they're going to go into this sphere of complete and total disorientation to truth for the first half of the tribulation. And it's going to be a great time for the people who live here to be perverted and criminals, if that's what they want to do. But then the crap is going to hit the fan midway, and that's when the whole thing is going to implode, because that's the natural consequence. When you get unrestrained negative volition running, eventually that negative volition is going to become the operational function, and then there's going to be war and total destruction of humanity if God let it happen, which he's not going to do. So this verse emphasizes God's justice handling over reversionists to the judgment, where the unbeliever reversionist receives judgment from God's justice department and in time as well as in eternity. So this is where, remember, for the most part, God lets unbelievers alone. The only place he doesn't do that is when their activities are going to impact his activities. All right. So if he remember, he's omniscient. He knows. All the timelines, he knows. What happens if he lets Sodom and Gomorrah survive? Well, that would impact Abraham and the whole issue of Israel. Well, that wasn't going to happen. See, the woman's coming here. There's no doubt in my mind that Satan planted Sodom and Gomorrah there on purpose, because he knew God was going to use this piece of geography for his people. And that's what's coming out of there. See the woman. Well, you got to have that. How do you prevent that? Well, you do what they were doing in Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay, and that would have infiltrated the Israelites when they showed up there. They were easy to move. They were really easy to move away from truth. So God had to prevent that from happening. So that place was toast. It sat at the bottom of the Dead Sea after that happened. And that was several hundred years, well, almost 1,000 years before Israel. Not quite that, but a long time. Great, great, great grandfather, I guess, would be where it would fit. And that was even before, they went to Egypt and spent 450 years, or 430 years. So it was 1,000 years, about. The verse indicates that reversionism is self-destructive. Whenever, see, that's the concept here, when you have to understand this. This stuff is automatically fulfilling its consequences. You go positive, you're automatically going to get positive consequences. The system is designed to do that. You go negative, you're going to automatically get negative consequences. So this is the self-destructive side. Whenever homosexuality thrives, there's a degenerate society awaiting a very, very terrible and disastrous historical judgment. Okay, now you may look back through history and see certain regions of the Earth planet that have undergone this kind of thing, and they wouldn't necessarily be attributed to this. You know, some of the mountains that kind of have blew up and over in the Europe area, they're just gone. The people that live there are gone. Well, that happened over the years. So, you know, those kinds of things can happen. God, you don't miss out the fact that God may well be running a show on that. Especially if you go back and look at the culture that was running the show there. How negative it was. How decadent it was. So, you know, God just terminates the propagation of that outfit right there. Boom, with a volcano or something. Don't doubt that. That happens. Self-destructive reversionism is the cancer in society that grows and grows until the culture is destroyed. And homosexuality is simply an indicator. See, the real problem isn't homosexuality. That's easy. Remember, sin is real easy to fix. You just 1 John 1:9, baby. Or believe. As an unbeliever, you believe. All sins are forgiven. Boom. Now, but what is the problem here? What's the core? What's the predicate for homosexuality? Arrogance. You see, you went negative. Somebody went negative on God and said no to God's specific commands. And if you haven't noticed lately in our culture, our country, the zeitgeist of our country presently is, if it's in the Word of God, they do the opposite. You can start right in the beginning with the book and see that happening. Everything he established in Genesis, boom, man, woman, marriage, man and woman marriage. Boom, go right out through. Boom, 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 boom. No, 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 no. That's where we're at. Right? Well, what's the cause of that? Arrogance. That's the problem. Arrogance. Negative volition to truth. Okay? That's arrogance. So, I mean, of course, that's Satan's MO. That's what he does. So, this is an indicator. And this problem is technically easy to deal with, but hard because of the evil associated with it. Remember, sin is easy to deal with. Evil is not. Sin is a specific violation of the definition. Sin is a transgression of God's law. I get specific on God's law because men write lots of laws that aren't sin. If you break it. The only way that a sin to do certain things that the government says you not to do is if God has empowered the government to do it. Who's the government in this country? It ain't the 430 people that live down in D.C. It's the Constitution. Hello? So they make a law that violates the Constitution, that ain't a law. And it's a law. But it's equivalent to the oral law of Jesus dealt with. He didn't spend a minute doing that stuff. He told them to go pound sand. He didn't never comply with their oral laws. And his disciples didn't. And the Pharisees hated him. Because he would contradict them on the Mosaic law, which was the law. Well, we got the same situation. The Constitution is the law, okay? Don't forget that. Other laws that violate the Constitution are themselves illegal. By definition. Because the country is the Constitution. It's not these liberal politicians that live down there that are making illegal laws. So you've got to recognize what's going on here. But don't realize also they have power. Look where Jesus ended up. He ended up on a cross. Well, God let that happen. It was in the plan. But you might too. All right? Maybe not literally, but figuratively. Look at who happened with all these people that went to this January 6th thing down there. This so-called insurrection that nobody died at except Ashley Babbitt. And she was shot by a cop. Now that's weird. And it was an insurrection. Nobody died. That's really weird. I don't think that's ever happened before. So that ain't an insurrection. No, it was rather dumb to go. But I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it was an insurrection. And we're going to find out if the right side, if the more establishment side wins in November. We'll see what happened. Really happened. Or we won't, maybe, because they're going to wuss out, which is what they do most of the time. So almost actually simply an indicator. And you can substitute anything for this. All kinds of sins that involve sin nature, control of the soul. Criminality, you know, there's a whole bunch of them. This just happens to be an easy one to deal with. So this is what destroyed the famous 5th century BC culture of Greece. It's representative of the degeneracy that comes from being given over to depraved thinking by God's justice department. See, God can't allow certain things to persist unless he's going to take people out of here. So in other words, if culture is going to perpetuate, God's agenda is more people. Right? All men come to the knowledge of the truth. Be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's what God wants. Why? They're witnesses. So that's what's happening. That's God's agenda. More witnesses. More witnesses. More witnesses. More, not just witnesses though, but witnesses in free countries. If you're in a slave country, you don't have a chance to be a witness really. I mean, it's really hard. Or harder. So, the degeneracy comes from being given over to depraved thinking by God's justice, depraved thinking by God's justice department. And when there's a rejection of truth, there's an inevitable vacuum created that sucks evil into the soul. And the degradation that comes from the evil is part of God's justice. See, God understands the system. You gotta think something. You gotta believe something. So, if you say no to truth, you don't believe truth. What's left? Lies. So, the automatic result of leaving off the truth, saying no to the truth, is that your brain is going to be filled with lies. Why? Because the God of this world runs the show. You see? The whole world is filled with lies. There's only one thread that has the truth. That would be Jesus and the Word of God. One. One thread. You got all these options out here. All complying with lies. And there's one thread weaving its way through this whole process. It's the truth. That would be with Jesus. God, Jesus Christ, the Word of God. That's it. So you say no to that, anywhere along that continuum, and you're in a lie. Because you got to believe something. You're going to believe something. I mean, people just say, I can't believe in nothing. No, no, you believe something. If you say no to God and Jesus Christ, you believe somebody else is God. Maybe you are. Most people, I would say that's true. They think they are. Okay? That's fine, but it's a lie. You can believe what you want, I'm saying. Well, until God decides not to let you live a little longer. So there was a rejection of truth. There's an intense, inevitable vacuum created that sucks the evil into the soul. And the degradation from that evil is part of God's system. So that's how the system, works. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. So ultimately, the choices you make are a result of what you think is true. And if you believe a lie, it's always going to be false. That's why it's real simple, really, to analyze situations. Because you can see how that connects to Jesus and the Word of God. And if it doesn't, you know it's a lie. That's why you turn on the TV, and you know there's all that's coming out of there is lies. Because they don't believe in Jesus. At least most of them don't. There's a handful that do. Okay? A handful that do have their issues too, but at least they got a shot. All right? The rest of them have, they got nothing. So everything they say is a lie. I mean, I make that case, people look at me like I'm nuts. Everybody's lying? Yeah, that's all they do. Even if they're telling the truth, they're lying. Because their agenda is a lie. You see, you got to tell the truth once in a while to get people to come along with your lie. See, that's how Satan works. That's what he does. So, that's what's going on in this country, and it's working. I mean, the people, the culture is getting sucked right down the tubes. Therefore, perverted sex, as homosexuality and lesbianism, is a revergentistic attack on human freedom. Because the truth contained in divine institutions are the predicate for human freedom, security, and happiness. See, all freedom, security, and happiness comes from truth. Now, these people somehow think they can perpetuate these things with a lie. But they can't. Because they don't even know how they got what they got. They stole it from God's people. It's interesting how these things always happen where? Prosperous places. Why? You can't bootstrap with criminality and perversion. When I say bootstrap, you can't start a society from nothing. In other words, you can't show up over in the United States. Well, what was the United States? North America. And even that's a white European term, because America's refugee was European. Well, this piece of geography over here on the other side of the Atlantic. All right, you can't show up over here with criminality and perversion and make a culture that works. They're going to die. It's inevitable. They can't bootstrap. Only establishment can bootstrap. And I say bootstrap, you start from nothing. You show up over here, you saw down trees, you kill animals, that's how you do it. You start from nothing. And you move from that to the next level, which is like coal mining. And iron, operating, making iron stuff, making products out of this stuff. I mean, you look at how a country, and then you move from that level to steel or whatever, and different kinds of other energy, oil, maybe. I mean, it wasn't what? I was involved. We lived in an area where everybody heated their house with coal back in 1961. We live right dead center in the middle of bituminous coal country. You could pick coal up along the railroad tracks and take it home and heat your house. Pennsylvania, western Pennsylvania, down near Pittsburgh. By the late 60s, almost everybody was heating with oil. All right, that was when that transition occurred. That wasn't that long ago. Right? And now we're about ready to phase out of that one. Where are we going to go? Well, we'll see. I think it's going to get real cold in your house, unless you've got some alternatives. You know, we'll see. I don't know. This transition doesn't look too pretty. And if you can't get back to coal, you're in deep crap. Or something like it. What was the predicate for before coal? Wood. Wood. What's sold out in Germany right now? Wood stoves and wood. Why? Because they can't get natural gas and oil. So that's going to happen here. Very probably, especially in the cities. Now, out here in the countryside, we still heat with wood. But it's a lot of work. And that's why people didn't do it. They went to oil. That was what was available. In the towns, in the cities, there was natural gas already at that point. Natural gas was in the big cities like New York in the early 1900s. So, I mean, that preceded the whole thing. In fact, this region was the source, this where we live right now, was the source of the natural gas for New York City for 20 or 30 years. huge natural gas wells here. So, I mean, that's why there's a lot of it still to be had if you want to have it, but of course the heathen politicians don't. So, divine institutions are the source of all freedom and happiness, and you can bootstrap a culture with that. You can't bootstrap a culture with perversion and lies. The old sin nature has no capacity for thought, therefore no power from thought, and since the old sin nature cannot think, it borrows from the heart, that would be your what's referred to as the source of this problem, it's for its thinking. So basically, your heart is the center of the thing. It's the target. It's being targeted, if you're a believer, it's being targeted by the sin nature, it's being targeted by the Holy Spirit, it's being targeted by the world, and it's being targeted by the devil. Okay, those are the power systems, you would have to refer to them as power systems, that are impacting your thinking. One of those four, at any given point, is the one you're running under. Now, for an unbeliever, the Holy Spirit's not there. It's vacant. And these people have rejected the Holy Spirit's teaching, so they're left with the world, the devil, and their sin nature. That's it. Now, you can synergize some of these and get some other concepts, but those are the key three power systems that you're dealing with as an unbeliever. And the most powerful of those is the sin nature, because you got one you carried around with you. But that's programmed by the devil and the world. See, nothing operates in isolation. It's all works together. So the old sin nature has no capacity for thought and therefore no power from thought. And since the old sin nature cannot think, it borrows the heart for its thinking. So that would be your decision. This is the battle that exists in the world today. That's the spiritual battle between God and Satan in the final analysis. Who runs the show? The Word of God or the lies of the devil? That's why the heart is often connected with the old sin nature. See, so if the old sin nature connects up with the heart, that becomes the operative function of your life. And that's going to take you down the road of perversion and criminality, minus some system of establishment or word of God, some system of resistance. This is why Jesus said, from the heart proceeds, and he goes on to discuss the issues, and he gives a list of sins, and the source of homosexuality, bestiality, lesbianism, and incest is said to be the heart. Now, we got this problem with monkeypox right now. Where do you think that came from? Well, it would be an interesting exercise to do that for homework. Where do you think that came from? Why is it here now? Where is it here now? And it's a worldwide problem? It tells us a lot about what's going on, doesn't it? Not a good thing. But it's actually because the old sin nature must use the heart to do its thinking. Neither the old sin nature nor emotion have any ability to think. And so a person without doctrine and without the Holy Spirit is going to be using that. An emotion-fed old sin nature system driving their thinking. It's completely irrational in the end. There's no rationality with that. It's chaos. And that's where the country's going if this is left unchecked. Now, and maybe that's what God wants to happen. That's fine with me. It doesn't matter. We're out of here. At some point. Maybe not. We'll see how long. We'll see what happens next. So the expansive translation of the verse. Verse 24. Therefore, the God, that be Jesus, his justice department. Remember, all justice is given to God. All judgment has been given to Jesus. Delivered them over in the lust of their hearts and immoral status, that their bodies might be degraded among themselves. Okay, so that's verse 24. Now, verse 25. Let's read them through verse one by one. So there, we'll notice right away that there's a word here that's not in the original. Let's see, where's our 25 over here, if I can find it? 24. Must be down here. Hard to see that. There it is. 25. We'll bring it right to the top. Boom, boom. All right, in the New American Standard. For they exchange, this is one big run-on sentence. The verses come in and kind of break it up and make it shorter so you can handle it. And then you can find it. I mean, the real purpose for the organizing the Bible, like they've done it, is so that you can find the passage, the topic of interest, relatively easy. And so you combine the verses and the books with the Strong's Concordance, which is a word-by-word dictionary of the Bible, with numbers. And each word's given a number. And so you can use that system to go back and figure out, if you're on a topic, you can look it up and go find all those verses that have that in it. It's really useful. So that's how the systems work. So correlating words is important, so we'll just go ahead and read this. It says, "For they exchanged the truth of the God for a lie," this is 25, "and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." So here we see the battle. They're exchanging one thing for another. Well, that's the battle that's in the heart. So, and that's what it reads in the New American Standard. Now, we're going to see a word missing here, maybe. The next word in verse 25 in the Nestleana text, the Greek, is who. So the four isn't there. Now, it's okay. It's a transition. But it's not there. Just a heads up. And the King James, for example, doesn't have it there either. But some other translations do. You don't need it. And actually, it takes away from what's being said. They dishonored myself. They. See, forget the four. This is saying because. The four would be, if it was there, isn't. Would be translated because. Well, it doesn't need that. It says, read it from the previous verse. Dishonored among themselves, they. Boom. We don't need it. It's not, it's putting, the focus is right on these people. The perverts. So we don't want to even, we don't want to get involved with because. They. So that's what the verse actually does. It says, them, they exchange, dishonored themselves. Who? Now, the they in the 25 in New American Standard is fine. Just get rid of that four, because we don't need it. It's more powerful without it. Who changed the cross, this is the Greek we're reading, who changed across the truth of the God, there we see the God again, it ain't in the translations either, in the lie, now that's a good one, the lie, we aren't going to get that far today, but that's, what would that be? That would be Satan's lie. That's good. And revered and served the creation beyond the one creating who is the well-spoken forever amen. Okay, that's how that ends. So we're going to get to the first couple words here because we're going to run out of time. But, or text, one or the other. Because I got down to about the first half here and I stopped. So we probably have enough. Doesn't matter. So the word for in the New American Standard is not in the original. They is okay. You could dishonor among them they. That's fine. It says who, I think, is a little better. But whatever. The verse starts with who, or they, translated from hostess. The King James has this one right. So again, we harass the King James occasionally. But sometimes they get it right. And this is one of those situations. So they didn't have the four in there. Just goes, boom, they did it. They did all these bad things. Boom, they. And it goes on to discuss what's going on because they did this stuff against God. They rejected God. Who is describing a group of people who are involved in degeneracy that involves perverted abnormalities of sex that are a cancer on the culture, indicating that reversionism has reached a saturation point where God's justice must step in and judge it. See, things get to the point where God just can't let it ride. Why? Because if he lets it ride, the culture's gone. In some cases, that might be okay, I guess, if you want the culture to be gone. But generally speaking, that's not the plan. The plan is to have more babies. All right? More witnesses. So you can't ever forget what God's plan is here. I mean, we're not here to do our own thing. I mean, you go back and look at, it says about, Jesus said this. As in the days of Noah, so will become the becoming of the Son of Man. Well, and then it goes on to list what the days of Noah were like. People were getting married, they were having kids, they were doing all this stuff, normal stuff. Well, what was so weird about it? Why is it going to be like that now? We're doing that now in this country, or all the world, for that matter. Western civilization especially, because we're rich. We're pursuing our own agenda minus God. That's what we're doing. And that's what they were doing. The entire culture, I mean, there wasn't many people on the earth, obviously, because they all reside in one small area. They're in Mesopotamia area, apparently. And Fertile Crescent, I guess, is where it happened, somewhere around there. And that's kind of where the culture started. That's where Nimrod started with Nineveh, actually. Nineveh. Yeah, Nineveh, sorry. Yeah, Nineveh and Babylon. They were on the opposite ends of the river. One was north, one was south. But that culture was the core of the beginning of the mankind. And that's where the, of course, where the flood, that's where the people that were flooded out were when that whole thing ended. So they were busy pursuing God. Of course, we understand from Scripture that there was an angelic interference involved. And that was a fact. But you get down to the real issue there was Noah was given 120 years to evangelize these people. And nobody followed. Nobody listened. All right, so what you got? A dead-end culture. There's no believers. There's eight. And you got to combine that with the fact that they're killing all the believers they can find. Okay? I mean, that's the culture was so arrogant and so confrontational to the truth and against the truth that they were killing God, everybody who was a believer. Because they didn't want them. So what's that? It's a dead-end culture. That's what we're getting to on our own at this point. This is what's going on here in this country, in the Western civilization. So God has to step in and judge it. Now, it either self-judges itself, or judges itself by virtue of the implosion that occurs as a result of the fact that what they do, or God steps in and, well, in the case of the flood, he terminated it. He started a new one all over. Well, that's going to happen. I mean, the millennium starts with a new culture. Only believers go through that process. All unbelievers are gone. They're in Hades. All right? So that's going to happen. So that means this whole thing is going to get pretty bad. I mean, we go out of here, and then the church is out of here, and then the whole thing is really going to go bad. So that whole thing is rolling as we speak. Now, we don't know how much of a pushback there can be from the church, because that's who's pushing it back in reality. The church. Not necessarily individual churches around like this one, but the body of Christ. The spiritual body of Christ. That would be all believers in the Western civilization area. But God's going to judge it at some point. So we've got to realize this is going to actually come. I mean, it's going to hold sway, is my point. It's going to win. Inevitably, it wins. The relative pronoun hostis introduces a sentence of general reference. The aorist active indicative of metasso is the verb that means to exchange something for another thing. So here we see people in their thinking are making a choice. That's all. That's all it's saying. And that choice involves saying no to God and yes to the devil. Which are perfectly fine, I guess, up to a point, as long as you're not going to tear everything apart. Of course, that's what they're going to do. Because that's inevitable. In verse 26, metaleso is used for exchanging the natural, normal sex between a man and a woman for sexual activities that are contrary to nature and deviant. Okay, so this just has to do with making a choice. Now, I find it interesting that these verses fit really what's going on in our society. Because what is it that's ascendant in our society? This stuff is. That's what we're feeding on now. It's crazy. You go back to the 60s and this stuff was in the closet. And it should have stayed there. I mean, I'm not saying people don't have a right to do this stuff. They do. But they can't tear the whole place down in the process. Well, they are. And God ain't going to let that happen unless he's getting ready to get done with it. So this is just another indicator of how things are going to progress here. We don't really know. Something's going to have to change big. Because these people are, in their viewpoint, are ascendant. In Western civilization, believe it or not. Well, they are. And we're going to be gone. I'm just saying. Western civilization is going to be toast. If this continues. Which, I say, it's fine with me. I mean, I'm just saying that's what's got to happen. Because it's self-destructive. When people reject doctrine, in this case, the gospel, so people refers to unbelievers and their entrance into diversionism, where their vacuous thinking inevitably leads to perversion. So remember, the vacuum, that's what they got. They got vacuous thinking, and that leads into... But the thing is, you get vacuous thinking with a lot of money. I mean, it's one thing to have vacuous thinking and be poor and destitute and dying of starvation. Because then you got to go do something. You got to go, find some food to eat. So it's not as bad. But when you got tons of money because you've stolen it all from God's people, then you can keep on doing this stuff. And that's clearly what's going on here in our country. You know, they keep printing money from nowhere because there's enough to do that with, and we still are in the catbird seat regarding the economics and money supply in the world. Can you believe that? That tells you that every place else is worse. In one way or another, and we're really bad. It's crazy. But that's what's going on. This is perversion in thinking that results in perversion in action. See, there you go. As you man thinks in his heart, so he is. Perversion is the antithesis of establishment principles. What happens is that the doctrine of God is exchanged for Satan's evil lie. See, that's the trade-off that's being made here. The word exchange is another constitutive aorist that gathers into one entirety the reversionistic process that leads to sexual perversion. So this is another bucket concept. So God creates such, gathers all of this evil, and he dumps it into one bucket. That's often the way he operates. Omniscience can do that. And then he dumps that on him. The active voice of the unbeliever, in this case, produces the action of the verb. The indicative mood is declarative for the dogmatic statement of fact that they traded the doctrinal truth, that would be not information about God, that God personally told them about, common grace, for Satan's lie that resulted in perversion. So the truth of God is the good part of the exchange. The accusative singular direct object from the noun aletheia, that's divine truth, that means truth in the sense of God's word or of truth or doctrine. In its context, it refers to the portion of doctrine that the unbeliever can understand when he hears the gospel under the common grace ministry of the Holy Spirit. See, that's what's going on. See, the Holy Spirit illuminates. Anytime you evangelize somebody, an unbeliever, always remember there's a third party involved. That would be the Holy Spirit. So when you properly communicate the gospel to someone who hasn't believed in Jesus, the Holy Spirit is at that same time enlightening their minds with regard to what you're telling them. So you should always understand that's what's going on. So the one that's teaching them isn't you, it's God. So anytime you witness, or anytime anyone else does, that's what's happening. And so these people are all responsible. Because they didn't say no to you. They said no to God. And that's what starts this chain of events here. So we'll pick up here next time. Father, we thank you for the opportunity provided for us to study this so that we can understand really what's happening here, why it's happening, how you're going to deal with it, how we're to understand it and deal with it ourselves, and to remain completely, totally relaxed mental attitude in the midst of it, because we know you have it all under control and you're using it ultimately to become the means of deposing Satan and ascending and setting Jesus Christ where he belongs in the position of a role and authority over the entire world. And we'll be in association with him as members of your royal family. So we ask you to help us to take this information and use it as we face the challenges that you allow to come our way. And we ask this thinking in Jesus' name. Amen.